Welcome to the Nerd Level Tech AI Cast, where we decode the bits and bytes of the tech world for our fellow nerds out there. I'm Alex, here to unravel the complexities of technology with the precision of a compiler.
And I'm Jamie, your translator for all things tech, turning jargon into jokes and complexity into curiosity. Today, we're diving deep into the matrix of back-end system design. If you've ever wondered what powers your favorite apps and services behind the scenes, buckle up.
That's right, Jamie. Back-end system design is the backbone of any digital service or application. It's what ensures that when you tap on that cat video, not only does it play, but it also loads quickly, doesn't crash, and remembers your like for the next algorithmically curated suggestion.
Hold on, Alex. Before we get into the nuts and bolts, let's set the stage. When we say back-end, we're talking about the server, the database, and the application logic, right? All the stuff we don't see.
Exactly. It's everything happening behind the curtain. Imagine a puppet show where the back-end is the puppeteer, controlling the strings of the performance that the audience, aka the users, sees through the front-end.
Got it. So what makes a good back-end system design? I mean, besides a love for late-night coding and an endless supply of coffee.
Well, coffee does help, but it really boils down to three pillars. Scalability, reliability, and maintainability. You want your system to handle growth, be resilient against failures, and be easy for other developers to work on and evolve.
I see. And in the real world, companies like Netflix and Stripe are champions of this, right? They manage massive amounts of data and traffic.
Spot on. Netflix, for example, uses a microservices architecture. This means they break down their giant application into smaller, independently deployable services. It's like having a team of specialists instead of a single all-rounder.
That sounds efficient, but also kind of complex. Is it like having too many cooks in the kitchen?
King, it can be if not managed properly. That's why there's a constant balance between choosing a monolithic architecture, where everything is in one big service, and microservices. Starting simple and then breaking it down into microservices as you scale is often a wise choice.
Ah, the classic start small and then expand, like my collection of tech gadgets.
Exactly. And speaking of starting small, one of the first steps in back-end design is choosing the right database. It's like deciding where to store your gadgets so you can find them easily later.
And I hear there are so many types, SQL, NoSQL, time series. It's like choosing between a toolbox, a drawer, or a custom shelf.
You've got it. Each has its own use case, like SQL databases for structured data and transactions, while NoSQL is great for flexible schema and scalability. Time series databases are perfect for storing sequences of data points over time, like metrics or events.
So after picking our storage, what's next? How do we ensure our backend is fast and not a bottleneck for user experience?
Great question. That's where caching and load balancing come into play. Caching is like memorizing your most used gadgets so you don't have to dig through the drawer every time. And load balancing is like having several doors to your gadget room, so if one gets crowded, visitors can enter through another.
This is making so much sense now, but what about when things go wrong? The internet isn't exactly known for being a smooth sea.
Ah, the stormy seas of the internet. That's where concepts like fault tolerance, data consistency, and observability come in. You design your system in a way that it can handle failures gracefully, maintain data integrity, and give you visibility into its performance and issues.
Sounds like a well-oiled machine. But with great power comes great responsibility, right? Security must be a big deal.
Absolutely. It's non-negotiable. Implementing practices like input validation, authentication, authorization, and encryption are the shields and armor in the battleground of the internet.
I can imagine. No one wants their gadget room plundered. Now, for our listeners who are itching to dive into back-end design, where should they start?
Start with the basics. Understand the core principles, get familiar with databases, and maybe build a simple API. There's plenty of documentation and tutorials out there. And don't forget about the importance of testing and monitoring your system.
Testing and monitoring, the vigilantes of the tech world, ensuring everything runs smoothly and stepping in when things go south.
Precisely. And with that, I think we've demystified a lot of what goes into back-end system design.
We sure did, Alex. From databases to disaster recovery, it's been quite the journey. And to our listeners, we hope this episode helps you appreciate the unseen magic that powers your digital experiences.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of back-end system design, don't forget to subscribe for more tech explorations. Until next time, keep coding, keep creating, and stay nerdy.
Bye, everyone. Catch you on the digital flip side.